Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is like Apollo and Drago.
I was just going to say, what's going on? I swear to God, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking
before. Getting a little bloody around here, Sal.
Yeah, dude.
Yikes.
So I said they haven't won since Friday, but that is incorrect because the Mets were off last Thursday, right? I forget the exact thing, but I know we were talking about, I think, Thursday.
Mm.
And then the Mets lost to the Rays Friday. Obviously, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox Friday. So they haven't won since before that. I don't know if they were both off that Thursday before. Maybe they won on the Wednesday. Whatever it is, they're 0-9 since Friday, both the Mets and Yankees. Things were looking great, and now they're looking awful with both teams crashing at the same time.
Silver lining is, I guess you would prefer to look bad now, yeah, which should kick the GMs in the ass to maybe accelerate a plan here to get some reinforcements.
Yeah, and we're not going
which
nuts
is a deeper
about,
conversation.
Exactly. But we're not going nuts about the season here, but no, we could certainly pick each team apart, and we're doing that. You know, I did a lot yesterday. I know we'll get to the Yankees having you back here, BT, and off another, you know,
I've never seen. I don't know how to. I don't know how to explain it.
29 and
it
counting. Can't hit. But then the Mets cough one up. It was really shaping up to be a beautiful night.
Well,
Yanks game was in the books. I'm like, I can't. Like, even I was like, I cannot believe this team just got
to a point now.
Where I didn't want to tweet it. I was going to say it today, but like, to a point where if Goldschmidt just drove in the run, it would have felt like a win.
I know.
Like, just don't get blanked again.
I know.
All right, the loss, the game is gone. But just score a freaking run to put that to bed. And they didn't. And then I'm watching the Mets thinking like, oh, this is great. Finally going to beat the Braves. Soto homer in this first at bat.
Yeah, getting everything ready, everything lined up. And then baseball happened. It torpedoed Sal's plan.
I did make a mistake. I texted my Uncle John laughing emoji. Because he's such a trash talker. I texted him prematurely and then it came back to bite me, of course. Ed is calling from Wontaw. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Eddie.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I'll tell you, the thing that's starting to drive me a little bit nuts about Soto's defense is he fields the ball, and then he's like the bully that wants the guy to run on him, but he doesn't have the arm.
He actually does have a pretty good arm in terms of velocity. His accuracy is a little less than you would want, but he's got a good arm.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's daring guys to go. And then when he throws the ball, he doesn't hit the target.
I get that part. I mean, there's been a couple of plays at the plate. I remember one early. Thanks for the call there, Eddie. Shallow right field, and I believe it was Torrens. It was up the first base line. God, I forget who they were playing. It was at Citi Field, and like everybody's like, wow, what an amazing throw by Soto. Dude, you were 209 feet away, and you still put it up the first base lines. Torrens had to kind of catch it and swipe like a shortstop. But Juan Soto does have an above-average arm in terms of actual velocity.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a bad arm. Now, here's the thing. If you're not happy with Soto in right field, maybe you could find somebody like Alex Ochoa, who used to also wear 22 and had a cannon in right field. You could have Ochoa. Like, I understand that Juan Soto was going to be criticized here. And like, you could pick on him for the base running. You could pick on him for the lack of hustle. People have done that. I am not going to do that because I wanted him for other reasons. I know he's not a perfect player. Very few players are, if any, are perfect players. I mean, I'm sure if we watch Shohei Ohtani. By the way, Shohei Ohtani doesn't even he doesn't play the field. So now he's finally starting to come back pitching. Oh, okay, it's great, but he's also not perfect. Aaron Judge is not perfect. He's the best player that I've ever seen. He is not perfect either. So we could always find flaws in teams, in players, and nitpick. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not even nitpicking. Like, that's fair. If that bothers you maybe more than it does me, that's fine with whatever player it may be. I choose to not ignore it, but overlook it or just not focus on it because I'm focusing on the reason why he's here and what he does so well, maybe better than any Met that we've ever seen in our lives. That's what I focus on with Soto.
Yeah, and listen, the inconsistencies, I think, which at times have been a little overstated with his defense, but if that, or and his base running, if that pops up and it's October, whatever, and you and I are on the air doing our show, and that's a playoff game,
big problem.
You're not going to look the other way then. You know, you just hope it doesn't happen in a big spot. And just to be clear, my energy with that play is less about him getting a poor read and, you know, not knowing what to do, and it's just an ugly, ugly mistake. I obviously point that out. That can't happen. It was more about the lack of accountability post game.
Yeah,
which like, is just understood. Keeps blaming the umpire.
Yeah, and you're right. And maybe I'm making excuses for him just because I love him so much. Like I prefer if he said, you know what, that can't happen. That's on me. I made a mistake there. Of course.
Yes.
But I overlook. I don't really care about that because I just want him to be him and do what he did. Get on base three times, hit that big home run. That's who he is. Also, it wasn't a lack of effort. If he just wasn't paying attention and took off and ran through second and was going to third without looking back, that's a different story. He was there in position looking at it. All right, did he make it? Like, is it normal to say you're looking at the ump? I can't kill him for saying I was looking at the ump to make a sign. I'd like him to make a better play. I'd like him to not get doubled off in a spot where you wouldn't think somebody would get doubled off right there. But I don't think it was a lack of effort or baseball IQ. It just, I don't know what the hell that was. When was the last time you ever heard a player who got picked off like that was looking at the play say that, well, the ump didn't make a sign, so that screwed me up.
I've never heard that in my life. Which is why I've got to be a little harder on him than you are, because I think that's rare. It's to the point where, to answer your question, again, I don't think I've ever seen that.
You know, it's also, to me, BT, not the reason why they lost the game. So there are a lot, like Alvarez, to me, deserves the brunt of this.
You got on him, too. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't disagree. Yeah. Like, it fell apart hard.
Right.
It was an ugly loss. Now, my thing was, I get it, Braves, it's more intimate, rivalry. Yeah. Okay, to me, the way it unraveled late, I don't care if it's the White Sox, that's a deplorable loss. That's just bad fundamentals.
Hector's in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's up, guys? To me, there's not one real reason why they lost the game. They lost the game because they're playing horrible baseball. They've been playing horrible baseball for a while. And only the Mets can be 17 games over 500 in first place. All the Braves are out of it and still make you feel like crap. And still make you feel like a game on June 18th is a must win. That's the feeling right now. And Sal, I love you, bro. And I love Juan Soto. But you can't come in here killing Pete Alonso yesterday. You look like you had time to call. And they come in and try to excuse everything with Juan Soto.
Alonso looked great. Alonso looked great. That was part of last night, too. The fun feeling. Alonso looked like his normal self.
They all look bad. But you cheat. But you quit to pounce on Pete.
Pete was awful in the race series. I didn't even talk about Pete Alonso yesterday.
You were hammering him. You said exactly that.
On Monday.
Whatever the heck it was. Monday, whatever the heck it was. You can't, come on, Sal. You got to be fair, bro. And I know you love Soto. Maybe
Soto
you want to get
homered
him on the
yesterday and it set the tone.
And that was
on base
that
three
was
times.
Listen to me. Okay, calm down, because I don't want you to cut me off. That was great. He came out there. He did exactly what we wanted.
Yes.
I was asking him. You need to be an impact player, but you can't then go and get thrown out on a play right in front of you and come as the umpire. You cannot do that. You're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be an impactful player.
Heck, is he really supposed to be a leader? That's one thing that I don't think he's ever been, and I don't think that he ever will be. I don't think he's built for it. He's not a leader. Just because you're a great hitter and you do certain things incredibly well doesn't mean that people follow you. And, you know, I know that there's some circumstances. The Nationals owner died, and the Padres, I guess, wasn't a great clubhouse, and he wanted to lead the Yankees for the Mets. But guy's been on four teams. Now, I'm not saying that he's a bad guy at all. I think he's a good guy. But I just think it's about his process and him remaining in that and less about what's going on around him. And that's good most of the time, unless you have such an embarrassing gaffe. You got to own it. That's all I'm saying. Look, I'm not saying throw him in Times Square and let stone the guy to death, hang him by his thumbs. I'm not saying that. But the lack of awareness post-game, to me, it's a bad look.
So yeah, and especially I'm not going to criticize him after he was on base three times with this tone-setting homer. That's what I wanted to see.
Well,
I wanted
to see was more of a tone-setter, though, the home run or the double getting doubled up?
I think the home run was. They were already lost at that point once they blew the 4-1 lead.
It's a tie game!
His first at-bat as a Met against the Braves in Atlanta, he homers. That's something that Met fans have been starved for. That's why you got him. And then he goes out there and was on base three different times. So I can't pick on him yesterday. There will be times where we get on him. By the way, I was first in this town to criticize Juan Soto and got ridiculed for that. So, like, which one is it? If a guy's, to me, and again, you may see it differently. Like, that's fine. I'm not arguing saying that it was a great play. I just wouldn't focus on that yesterday where I think that there were other reasons why the Mets lost that ballgame. Also, as far as the leader thing, he's not.
I know.
It's what makes Judge so special is that it happens to be the best player in the world is a great leader as well. The Mets, Piazza was never a leader. Beltran was not a leader. Oh, Soto's not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
David Wright was their best player, I guess, for a certain period. But then he had, you know, the back stuff, and then he really became their leader. So
yep, sure.
They've had players of great magnitude that just were not leaders, and that's okay. Not every great player has to be a leader.
I understand that. Not every great player is equipped to be a leader. Right. I mean, so there, those two little different things there. I think Lindor handles that post game differently. I know that Judge handles that differently. Now,
it took him 3 years.
Yeah, it took him a little bit to transition to the city. That's true. But Soto's been here for a year, so it shouldn't be, you know, as long. Judge handles that differently. Jalen Brunson handles that differently. And again, it's not to crucify the guy. And it's a sequence of reasons why they lost the game. It doesn't mean that it's terminal, but let's face it. There are certain losses, whether it's, you know, Jets, Dolphins, or Yankees, Red Sox, or Mets, Phillies, or Mets, Braves. It's just certain Islanders, Rangers. There are certain things that just pick a little deeper, and the wound is a little more, I don't know, deep. And I get it. I would also tell Mets fans, kind of tap the brakes. You're still good, provided you end this soon. That's where I would start getting worried. Four games, ugly. We'll get to the Yankees coming up. I still think the Mets are good, but you got to stop it starting tonight. You got to win this game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I gave you a warning, and that warning was not something I was going to feel because I don't have this feeling, but I felt that Yankee fans would have this criticism of Juan Soto, and some did, and now Keith Hernandez has whipped out this criticism of Juan Soto. And I want to play the clip for you because Keith's very careful about it, and you can almost see doesn't really want to rip Juan Soto, but certainly brings up the criticism of, is he looking for too many walks?
Right.
So here was Keith Hernandez last night. It was early in the game. Gary Cohen is talking about the impressive resume Juan Soto has, his on-base percentage and all that. And Keith Hernandez said this about Juan Soto.
I know that Juan has the lead in the league in walks with 60, but I would love to see. I'm not asking to change him. I'd like to see him swing the bat more and less walks. But, you know, he's a guy that walks over 100 times a year, and he's got a great track record. He's got a wonderful resume.
It was almost like Keith didn't want to say it.
He started to say it, and then he was like, man, I don't want to say this. But I've already started, so I got to say it. Let me be as tactful as I possibly can. And it still came off as, be quiet. Just let him walk.
He kind of does. It's also, okay, so I've gotten to watch him now every day for how many games? 76 games? We watched him last year every day. Now, I watched it with a different eye watch in the Yankees. I'm an IBO with a Met fan. As a Met fan, my emotion is fully into it. So right. I acknowledge.
Because you wanted to get a hit.
Right, and I'm living and dying on every play.
Right.
I'm watching the Yankees. I'm watching them a lot, but I'm also much more like matter of fact. My wife likes to joke about that. She uses it in football. She said, you watch the Jets, you lose your mind. You watch the Giants, you're very like very matter of fact. Like, oh, pick six. Okay. She loves that. I have never gotten the impression watching Juan Soto that he's looking to walk.
He's just okay walking.
He has an arrogance, and this is a compliment, not a negative arrogance, of I'm going to swing at the pitch I want to swing at. I know the strike zone better than you. I will lay off pitches that are close, and I will gladly take my walks. And if I get a pitch to hit, I'll hit the crap out of it. And if I don't, I'll take my walks.
Right.
And to me, that's different than what Chris Russo used to say about Wade Boggs. I'll never forget. It was my introduction to sports talk radio as a kid. I remember him ranting, and I wish I could find it because I would love to play it as a WFN flashback. But it was Dog saying, hey, tell me about this Wade Boggs. All he's doing is looking for walks. He's looking for it. I don't think Juan Soto looks for walks. I think he's just a really, really patient hitter. So it's funny listening to that clip because Keith's about to kind of criticize him, and then he stops.
Well,
but I kind of disagree.
Well, you should disagree, especially with Pete Alonso behind him. And so, I mean, say for, you know, the whatever, last night with the fly ball to right center. But still, it's like he feels like the walk to him is as good as a hit. And it gives whoever's behind him like a great opportunity. Now, is that great baseball all the time, especially when you need a hit and you need to score a run? Probably not, but it's fundamentally the right play.
But also, is it great baseball to expand your strike zone more than you're comfortable with just because, well, I don't trust the guy behind me?
No, because when you do that, you end up chasing.
Right.
And I think he doesn't want to ever fall into the habit of chasing. You see Aaron Judge get into this trouble sometimes where he hasn't gotten a hit in a while. Sometimes he'll see that whatever slider or whatever it is going out of the zone, sweeper, and he wants to chase it. And sometimes he just can't help himself. Juan Soto doesn't want to do that.
And you would agree that even if Pete was struggling, because Pete's had a really good year for the most part.
Right.
Even if Pete was struggling, you would stand by Soto should remain with the same approach, correct?
You got to be you.
I agree.
You got to be you.
I completely agree. So when I heard Keith say that, who I have the ultimate respect for him. You talk about a guy that played the game and played it at a high level. I'm listening to him because I really respect the hell out of him. And I'm like, I don't feel that way about Juan Soto. I don't feel he needs to swing more.
He's probably right as a teammate. A teammate will probably think the same thing. We need a hit here, Juan. We need a hit. Okay, you got to walk. That's fine.
But there's like a little disappointment in it because you know how good he is.
Yeah.
Of putting bat on ball. But he also is not going to let a pitcher off the hook. This goes back to the Volpe thing the other night, swinging on the first pitch in the extra innings. It's like you let the pitcher off the hook.
Right.
By not forcing him to throw you strikes. Now, this that slider happened to be a strike to Volpe, but you know what I mean. Like, Juan Soto is going to make you get him out. He's not going to, like, let you off easily.
I agree. I don't really want to see him swing more. I want him to be him. Mm-hmm. And that involves getting on base 42% of the time. That involves drawing an awful lot of walks. That also involves driving a bunch of runs in. There was a game, I think it was the Friday night game against Tampa Bay, which began this losing streak, mm-hmm. where Soto actually drew a bases-loaded walk. And unfortunately, while it scored a run, Pete Alonso struck out, and the next hitter, I forget who it was, I think it was Jeff McNeil, flied out to left field. And so the inning started to kind of go sideways. I never once thought, boy, that damn Juan Soto, he should have been more aggressive. No, right. I mean, baseball's the ultimate team game. So you are going to need your teammates to hit. But I thought that was funny last night because he was starting to rip Juan and almost hesitated because he's like, oh, I don't know.
I don't want to say this.
I don't know if I actually do want to say this. But I haven't gotten that feeling about Juan Soto.
I don't think he was. I think he was trying to give him like constructive criticism, and then in the back of his mind, he went, "Oh boy, this might sound like right. I'm criticizing him."
Right.
Let me walk that back. But I'm surprised. I would think Keith would like the Juan Soto approach. Like the reason he is Juan Soto is because he is patient and he doesn't give in. We saw it opening day. He swung at a pitch probably because he was like, "It's my first day on a new team. Mm-hmm. I'm in a big spot." And Hader threw the ball basically in the third row, and he swung at it. Mm. You want that Juan Soto
no,
every day?
No.
Play within the confines of what makes
him
great.
I want him to be him. Like, when he draws a lot of his walks, as a fan, I'm excited because they got more base runners.
Right.
Now, does that put pressure on Pete and Jeff McNeil and anyone else who's sitting behind them? Of course. And do the Mets need more production at the bottom third of their order? Absolutely. But I also want Juan Soto to get on base because, you know what? This is a stat that may frustrate Sean. He doesn't like stats. The more times you get guys on base, the greater chances are you're going to score that guy.
That's going to frustrate me.
It's simple math. It's very math. You get on base, you have a better chance to score runs.
And you have a better chance.
But you didn't know that, Sean.
No, I knew
that.
Did
you know that?
But here's how else you score runs. When those guys are on base and the pitcher starts feeling a little pressure, then you make them work and you take a first pitch. Mm. That will also lead to more runs scored.
Yeah, but sometimes the first pitch you get is the best pitch you're going to get.
Yeah, unless it's a slider and you're hitting 111 versus Molina.
First of all, the slider was not even off the plate. It was right there in the middle of the zone, and Anthony Volpe missed it. Are we still arguing about this?
It was a slider.
Yeah, and you know what his batting average is when he swings at first pitch sliders? 4-for-10.
When he puts it in play, when he swings and misses, that doesn't count as the average.
Well, that's how stouts are calculated.
Stouts or stats?
Stats are calculated based on the ball being put in play. How could there be a stat if he swings and misses or if he fouls the ball off?
Are you still arguing something you're wrong on?
I'm not wrong. I feel very good about this. I feel very confident about Volpe swinging at the first pitch.
I feel very sorry for you.
Why?
Because you're wrong and you're still 2 days late. It's getting sad now.
When you saw people in the streets and they called you Tommy Lugauer at first, and then they corrected themselves and they realized that you're Sean.
Well, they called me Chris McMonagle second.
Do they really?
No.
You get a lot of Big Macs? Were people agreeing with you in the streets or disagreeing with you in the streets?
I got a hero's welcome on the Long Island Railroad yesterday.
Off of the Volpe argument?
Yeah, please, enough with Evan. I thought he was Mr. Baseball. He's lost something on his fastball.
Wow.
Greg ruined him. I get a lot of that.
Oh. I've got a lot of that, too. Yeah, I could tell by his eye movement, none of that actually happened.
Of course not. I put my headphones on, a hood on. I'm trying to ignore.
Of course.
Let's go to John in Bergen County. Hey, John.
I spoke to you yesterday. I forgot to get one point in. You know, one thing I did, I coached a lot. My kids, and you know, I had a lot of championship teams, and I had a lot of kids with like attitudes and players with attitudes, and they loved their position when they were at bat. They would come up to me before the game and say, "Am I leading off today? Am I batting cleanup? Am I the third hitter?
All right.
Where am I batting today? You know?" And I talked to my kid. And my kid said, you know, I loved I was batting second. Bobby was right behind me. You know, if I'm when you're going into a game, like what did you say earlier, Tiki?
Yeah.
When did the Mets start railing? When did they rail last year? When Lindor went to leadoff.
Right.
Lindor knew he was going to lead off every game.
Oh, so your point is guys benefit from knowing where they're hitting?
Yeah, and raising the
that's right.
Right, knowing the expectation.
Right.
So it's interesting because we kind of had that conversation with Volpe for the brief moment last year when he went to the leadoff spot, and he actually hit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you put him in a position where he's not back in the lineup, where the expectation is just don't screw it up too badly. It was, we need you on base. He responded.
Right.
And then he fell apart. And so he's right. John's right. But you also have to be good at it.
Yeah.
Francisco Lindor is good at leading off.
I also don't know if he's referring to his kids coaching high school or Little League or whatever it is. I'm not sure if the modern major leaguer needs to know where they're batting in the batting order. Like, I heard Aaron Judge, I've heard Juan Soto, I've heard Lindor, I've heard Pete all say this. They don't care.
Well,
they don't need to know where they're batting.
They have a preference.
They have a preference, but they don't think it changes their performance based on if they're going from 2 to 3. Like, Aaron Judge this season is fascinating. Hmm. Because Aaron Judge has batted in 2 slots in the order all year long. He's been jerked back and forth between 2 and 3, 2 and 3, 2 and 3. Do you really think it makes any damn difference? Has it made any damn difference? Like, if we analyze the numbers of Aaron Judge this year, do you think we're going to see a difference?
I doubt it. He's been too good for it to have made any difference.
I'm actually going to look it up now.
Yeah. I mean, you could, but it's just...
It's not going to mean anything because it's all going to be awesome numbers, right? Is that your prediction?
That's going to be my guess.
I mean, I would assume so as well.
Even though the last couple of games he's been in the two-hole has not been great.
Here is the statistics. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
They're both awesome, by the way. As a two-place hitter batting second, he has started 37 games batting second, 34 games batting third. So it is basically
an even split.
Exactly
what you said.
It's
2-3, 2-3, 2-3.
That's what they've done all year. When batting second, he's hitting .392 with a 1,140 OPS. When batting third, he's hitting .350 with a 1,302 OPS. You know what's interesting? He basically has the same amount of plate appearances. It's only separated by 20.
Yeah.
When he bats second, he only has 9 home runs, but a higher batting average. When he bats third, he has 17 home runs with a lower batting average. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Nothing.
I'm being honest. It doesn't mean anything.
How many RBIs?
25 while batting second, 35 while batting third, which makes sense. You're going to have more guys up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big series starts tonight for the Mets. They'll be back in action after the off day yesterday, licking their wounds after getting their clocks cleaned at home by the Rays over the course of the weekend. Pitching starting to fall apart a little bit there, so I know there's some concern. I mentioned yesterday my concern will be with Pete Alonso. He had some awful at-bats over the course of the weekend and just looked like old Pete. And we've seen the Mets and Yankees kind of revert here. The Yankees, you know, showing their weaknesses that has been the case for years. They started to show that over the last four games or so. And then Pete Alonso, who was a, I don't want to say a weakness or a problem, but he certainly wasn't any good for the Mets last year, where he was unimpactful, and he started to have some of those at-bats. I'm not worried about the results necessarily. You're going to ground out in double plays. You're going to strike out with the bases loaded. Like, those things happen. I'm more worried about the at-bats and the lack of quality at-bats, where Pete starting to look like last year's Pete, and that just cannot continue. The Mets will not be able to survive that, and it needs to end now. The Mets losing streak is one thing. It's not just, oh, well, okay, stop the bleeding. It's because it's the Braves. If this were anybody else outside of the Braves and Phillies, who, by the way, they happen to be playing over the course of the next 10 days or 10 games here, three in Atlanta, three in Philadelphia, four back at home against the Braves, this might be the most crucial stretch of the Mets' regular season. They've got to be able to end it now and put the Braves to sleep once and for all. Go down to that place, which outside of last year, game one of that doubleheader on that Monday and the makeup game, the Lindor incredible home run to get the Mets into the postseason, it's been a house of horrors, and the Braves have owned them. The Mets have yet to look them in the eye and put them away. They could have done it on that day last year. They didn't. The Braves also got into the postseason. Yeah, I know the Mets let off the gas, whatever it may be. You get the point. There's still unfinished business as it comes to the Braves, who happen to be 13 games back and 8 games under. It's time for the Mets to make sure they put the hammer down and show the Braves who's the team to beat in the National League East. And if they don't, that's going to open up a whole nother can of worms here to where people are going to start doubting the Mets again, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. As great as they've been so far this year, they haven't proven anything. They haven't had sustained success. They haven't won a division. They've got a lot to prove here, and this is part of it. You know, the Yankees don't have much to prove in the regular season. It's all about the postseason with the Yankees, so that's why we hold them to the higher standard. And eventually, you hope that the Mets will get to that point. If this year, it should be about the postseason, but they also have to prove themselves in the regular season. Yankees win the division. Yankees are in the postseason almost every single year. Mets, if they get there, it's been the wild card. Time to win the division here. Are you big boys or are you not? You want to swim with the big boys in the deep end? Go win a division. And it goes a long way in beating the Braves, burying them starting tonight. Pat is in Southington, Connecticut, talking about the Yankees. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Sal. Big fan of the show.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I think your criticisms of the Yankees, a lot of them are fair. But I think the way you criticize their lack of developing the prospects goes a little bit too far. Because I think what you're failing to recognize is they also do a great job of developing the pitching side of their prospects. I think you only really hit on the positional players. I mean, even Volpe, yeah, he hasn't been a star. He leads the AL East in WAR right now for shortstops. I'll take that. Wells is on pace for 30 homers with above average D. I'll take that for my catcher. Mm-hmm. Jason's been a disappointment. Will Warren's been great. Luis Hill, while he's hurt, is a reigning AL Rookie of the Year. And Clark Schmidt, I don't know if you saw him pitch last night, 7 shutout. He's been great the last 2 years. I think
He was great last night. You can't say he's been great the last 2 years. He hasn't even been healthy fully the last 2 years. So he's good and he has potential, but I need to see a lot more from Clark Schmidt.
That's fair. I mean, he's pitched in the postseason and did well in the ALCS. He's like a proven number three.
I like Clark Schmidt. I'm not knocking the Yankees pitching. They've done a good job, especially last year. I mean, Luis Gil is hurt, unfortunately. Cole is hurt. They could be even better. I'm not knocking the Yankees pitching. I would knock them more for their free agent signings as far as the pitching goes. But, you know, look, Gerrit Cole was great. But the way the Yankees go out there and spend money on the starting pitching, you shouldn't have to do that. And they've done it for years, chasing guys, whether it be trades, whether it be free agency. But I'm not knocking the pitching. This is more about the lineup.
Yeah, no, I get that. But it feels like you're overly critical of the Yankees prospects when if you compare them to the Mets so-called top prospects the last couple of years. I mean, was he not the number one prospect in baseball?
Pat, let me ask you a question. Why do you feel the need to bring the Mets into the conversation? I'm legit curious.
Because I feel you're not critical enough of how they've developed their top prospects over the last couple of years.
I'm not talking about the Mets. I'm talking about the Yankees. When the time comes to talk about the Mets, there's nobody, and I mean nobody, in this town that's more critical of the Mets than me. So you're barking up the wrong tree with that bullcrap.
Well, if your point is that the Yankees rely on their prospects more than the Mets do this year, that there's some
My
logic
point
there.
is not about the Mets, Pat. My point is that this is the New York Yankees. You're making it about the Mets. I'm making it about the Yankees. I'm sorry that I hold the Yankees to a higher standard than you do. I'm trying to see a great team to go win a World Series for the first time since 2009. It's a long time ago. You remember that, right?
Yeah, but okay. are you expecting these prospects to be all-stars immediately?
Yes,
I mean,
it's year three for Volpe.
Impacting the team.
It's year three for Volpe. Is that
his
immediately?
OPS has jumped up like 70 points this year.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations, his OPS. Well, what's he hitting? What's his batting average? How's the power?
Like 240?
That's good? You think that's an all-star? Anthony Volpe was supposed to be... Brian Cashman, the GM, said it to me himself. BT and I had him on. He said it to us himself, that he expected him to be a star. You think Anthony Volpe's been a star? I mean, come on, dude. Jason Dominguez didn't even play in the minor leagues. Let the kid develop. The Martian. You don't get a nickname like the Martian because you're hitting 240 with six homers, three of which came in one game against the crappy A's. Come on. And yes, the point is that the Yankees are relying on these young guys on a team that is expected to go compete to win the World Series. So yes, the Mets have their own issues. I'll do a whole show on them. We've done that before. This is about the Yankees. Where's Spencer Jones, by the way? Yeah, he'd be fine too, right? God, come on. You got to have some self-respect as a fan. You're apologizing. You're making excuses for these guys. You're right. I'm wrong. They've done a great job developing. Really, Dominguez is lighting the league on fire. Volpe is a stud. He's been tremendous. Quality at bats last night. Big spots. A little bump in the road for Volpe. Jim is calling from New Hyde Park. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Sal. I wanted to talk to you for so long.
How are you, Jim? Thanks for making the call.
Good. I'm originally from Astoria, Queens. Now I live in New Hyde Park. Anyway, I just wanted to bring up a couple of Yankee points here. The Yankees employ like an 11-man rotation with their everyday players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that Stan's back, if he don't play, him and the kid could be sitting. Because last week they were saying they don't have a good bench. But they got two stars sitting every night on the bench.
Well, they have two players who you'd want in the lineup on any given night. Now, again, these things usually work themselves
out.
Ben Rice has cooled off. Goldschmidt cooling off a little bit.
Trent Grisham cooled off.
Right. And there's no way to have Stanton. I mean, unless you're going to put Rice at catcher, which I wouldn't recommend doing. And if they do that, it's not going to be.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, either. Right. And I don't think they're going to do it. If they do it, they're not going to do it often enough.
But this is a good problem to have. And, I'm disappointed with the Yankees, too. But, like some of the good things they have, like Volpe has 20 doubles.
Mm-hmm.
He leads the league almost a double.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Like, again, you guys keep bringing up stats. Like, Yankee fans are very good at bringing up numbers, and thank you for the call. I'm not concerned with him leading the league in doubles. Again, that's great. I have higher expectations for him. Don't you? So are we just supposed to sit back and say, maybe you could. BT says this. He doesn't expect Volpe to be a star. Okay. But then that's already a loss because you were expecting Volpe to be a stud. So what are the expectations for Dominguez? Let's leave Volpe out of it. You guys are satisfied with Volpe? You're right. He's a top shortstop in baseball. We can see it. It's clear as day. I mean, those at-bats, that's a Volpe. When the bat hits the ball, it goes into the glove. That's a Volpe. In a big spot, he leaves his Tim to rot. That's a Volpe. But he's fine. Can't get a hit with a man on base. That's a Volpe. But Volpe's fine. Forget about him. Although it is fun doing this, I must admit. How about Dominguez? And this is not ripping on Dominguez. I said it weeks ago, and I was mocked by BT and some others. Dominguez should be in the minor leagues. Should be in the minor leagues. Not because he's not good, because you want to develop him the right way. Let him learn to play the game. So when he does come up, you're comfortable with him in the outfield, and you're comfortable with him being an impact bat from both sides of the plate.
Yankee fans seem a little more annoyed than the Mets fan right now, but I'll tell you right now, you get swept down at Atlanta, all those bad thoughts, you're going to start itching and scratching yourself again, going, I can't believe this is happening. This is not supposed to happen in a Steve Cohen, Juan Soto world, and it did again.
Especially with the way that the Braves had been playing. And, you know, they got back to 500, and then they fell off again. And then you're thinking, okay, let's go down there, and let's put the hammer down. But something happens when they go down to Atlanta. I don't know. It's one of those weird things. I had that problem when I went to Houston to play in the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Just a weird deal where you just don't ever feel comfortable. The other team, you know, you bring out the best in the other team, or the other team brings out the worst in you. So that's where the Mets are right now. And, you know, for both of these teams, and the reason we thought about this initial discussion point about when was the last time they had this long of a losing streak together was because Fliegelman asked me this morning at, you know, like 5:30, when was the last time, or has it there ever been a time since you've been here at WFAN since 2007 where both of these teams have gone on a losing streak together at the same time? And I could not remember any, and that's why that it's 1996, because it's never happened since then.
Yeah, and if they both teams lose again today and tonight, that'd be a full week of us opening shows with losses for them. And, of course, that would be then 13 straight between the two. So that's why we don't want to see these paltry numbers up there on CBS Sports Network with how bad offensively the team has been. And now you got these other teams, the Phillies and the Rays, creeping up, getting dangerously close to the division. Still a long way to go. You just don't want to. Like, I just wanted one time for a rocking chair type of division deal for
the Mets.
It's not
going to happen. You know that, and I know that. Just, you know, we're going to be, you know, in September, there are going to be three teams that are going to be close. We all know that. And it's really going to come down to which team fortifies themselves the best at the trade deadline. You know, the Florida Panthers acquired Brad Marchand from the Boston Bruins at the trade deadline for this year's Stanley Cup run. Thank God they got him, because he was such just an unstoppable force, especially in the playoffs for that team, because of all of, you know, the type of player he is, but all the experience he has. And so you got to hope that both of these teams acquire somebody along those lines where somebody's looking to dump a salary or something like that, and you'll eat it for a little bit, but hopefully that they have a just an incredible impact. I'm trying to think of the last guy that we could say had that kind of impact.
Yoenis Cespedes.
Right. Oh, well, and that was an accident, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. Wasn't supposed to be him. Supposed to be Carlos Gomez. Ended up being Cespedes. Next thing you know, they're in the World Series. Yeah. I mean, and I remember last year prior to, well, you had the Grimace thing and then things started turning around. But we had so many discussions. What do you do with Pete Alonso? Do you trade him at the trade deadline? Is it John Tavares and all those things? Well, that's sort of like where the Braves were at just a few days ago. Like, they're having discussions. Do they end up trading a guy like Chris Sale to trade deadline? That's how bad they had been. And the fact that the Mets have gone down there and done nothing but give them life is the thing that really pisses me off, because you just want to bury a team like that because they've been such a pain in the neck for so long. So to blow the game on Tuesday, to come out and have nothing offensively against Sale on Wednesday, and to have the game start off with that Acuna home run, it's like, God, the house of horrors. You just can't get out of it. So just don't get swept. Get some momentum going into the Phillies series, and all will be forgiven, at least for a day.
But, you know, the other problem is, and we talked about this last week, we were saying, oh, what happens when, you know, Showman I and Frankie Montas come back? I said, well, you know, the game usually takes care of things. Mm-hmm. And the game has taken care of things in terms of that situation, because now all of a sudden the Mets are reeling with starting pitching issues.
Yeah, they were right there. You know, they were 20
right
games
along
over 500, and now they're, well, I guess 19, 20, and now 16 games over 500 with the Phillies just a game back in the loss column.
So the high water mark was on the 12th, when they beat the Washington Nationals 4-3. That was high water mark.
Almost blew that game, too.
Then they got swept by Tampa, and they may get swept here by Atlanta, and then they got Philly. And the thing about this is, and then they have Atlanta again. Remember I was saying how this part of the schedule is going to be very vital and important?
Yeah.
You see, like, when I look ahead on these schedules, I know you make fun of me.
Yeah, I do.
Because I don't, you know, usually it's not a touch the money spot. It's just an awareness spot.
Yeah, I understand.
I just want to make you aware of what's happening.
Well, the reason I make funny is you miss their, you know, one game, one pitch.
I am. When you're playing the game, yeah, of course.
Looking ahead in the schedule.
When you got 162 game schedule, damn it. You got to, like, you got to really look at it and see, like, who you're playing, when you're playing them, and what kind of situation are they in.
Yeah.
And like you said, the Mets have given the Atlanta Braves life now all of a sudden.
And they'll give them more life at the end of sweeping them. So that's why this game is critical. It's also critical for their confidence getting things back together going into this weekend series against the Phillies, because the Phillies are going to be, I mean, and it's on the road. They've had their issues. Their fans have been all over them as well. You saw the Nick Castellanos situation with Rob Thompson. So it's not like things are all hunky-dory there.
Well, they also have a ton of injuries.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they're going to start smelling blood, too. They'll be like, wow, the Mets are limping in on a freaking six-game losing streak.
Okay, it's June. And last year, as you said, we were talking about the trade deadline. Then all of a sudden, they took off. And now it's, you know, now it's going to have to be, you know, they have to get it back on track now more than anything.
Let's go to Anthony, who's in Brooklyn. What's going on, Anthony?
Boomer, your jersey's going in the freezer.
Why Boomer's jersey?
Why my jersey?
Last week you said it, though, these things tend to work out, which you're 100% right. That same day, Senga got the hamstring injury. And then the day after that, or 2 days later, we got another Met pitcher injury. And I'm sweating over here, and I think it's your fault.
Okay, I appreciate that. But, by you know, I don't play first base for the Mets. You know, I can actually throw to first base.
Yeah, true.
You know, if Pete Alonso would just be able to throw an easy ball over there, you wouldn't have this problem, regardless of what Kodai Senga says.
Yeah. And I know we're having fun with it, and Anthony's having fun with it. But, you know, the reason you said that was because of all the experience we have watching these baseball players get hurt. Not because you had some sort of premonition or decided to jinx the Mets. It's because we see this every year.
It's the same thing with the Yankees with Giancarlo Stanton coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a problem. How are we going to fit him into the lineup? And yeah, you know, listening to the game last night, are there issues for Paul Goldschmidt? Is he going to lose some at-bats? And he was one of your better players the first 6 weeks of the season. Yeah, he's going to lose some at-bats. I doubt Cody Bellinger is going to be taken out of the lineup because he's so good defensively. But, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it does, in some way, kind of upset any sort of momentum that some players may have. And now Goldschmidt may have to just realize that this is what the situation is now, and this is, we're going to have to work it around, and he's going to have to be accepting of it.
Yeah, you know, I've referenced a couple times back in December, I had a very nice night with Carlos Mendoza. It was an event that we had on Long Island, Bull Smith Tavern, and I got to sit there and interview him for over an hour in person. And we forged a friendship at that time, I believe, at least on my end.
And you and Mendy?
Yeah, me and Mendy. So
did you call him Mendy that night?
I did not. No, I did not call him Mendy.
What'd you call him?
I called him Skip. So anyway, I said Skip at the end of this thing. I was like, listen, let me get that cell phone number of yours just in case, because I got a pulse on this whole thing. So
you got a pulse on this whole thing.
I have a pulse on this whole thing. I'd be like, listen, I said, Skip, you just got here, right? I know you've been with the Yankees, whatever. I've lived this my entire life. I'm in my 40s now. You know, I got pictures of me in Met uniforms when I'm 3 years old. So
I'm sure he wanted to hear this.
Yeah. So I said, listen, Skip, give me the phone number. I'll tell you when you need something, I'll tell you. So I've decided if they get swept by the Braves,
time to make a phone call.
I'm calling for a team meeting. I'm texting them. I'm going to say, Mendy, let's go. Team meeting. That's what I'm going to do. So, we don't want that. Team meeting work last year. Probably you don't want to go to the well too many times. But if they get swept by the Braves going into this Philadelphia series, time for a team meeting.
I think it's time to throw the bats out of the bat rack, throw the helmets down the dugout, show people how uncomfortable you are, and remind them how well they are treated by their ownership.
Indeed.
It was a real email. Got it at therico@gmail.com. I just think it fit better our show than even the Rico Bronya. Hey, guys. Love the show. Blah, 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 blah. I went to the Met game the other night. During the late game rally, I noticed that the entire right field area after Juan Soto hit his home run featured a roll call. It started in the top of the fourth inning after Soto's home run. They started cheering his name like the bleacher creatures do. And then he acknowledged it and they roared with cheer. During the late game rally, the fans started doing it again to Soto. It isn't even the first time I've seen it this year either. I assume they're doing it to mock Yankee fans after they turn their backs on Juan. But then, once the Mets had the rally and they tied it, then they started doing it to Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz. I get trying to mock Yankee fans, but I think this isn't a great approach because it gives off a little brother energy. And it stopped feeling like they were mocking them as soon as they did the roll call to anyone other than Juan Soto. I was curious if you have noticed this weird interaction and if you think Met fans are ripping off the Yankees by stealing the roll call. So I was at the game, but I didn't see this occurring. Actually, I was not at the game in question. This was the rally game that they had that I missed because I went to the complete game shutout. But I do believe him that Met fans were roll calling for Soto. Initially, guy thinks it was just mocking Yankee fans, but then starts roll calling for Pete and Edwin and believes it kind of spread little brother energy. Tommy, should the Mets cease and desist doing this, or is this okay?
It's not okay. There are things that should be in the Bronx and stay in the Bronx that are the Bronx that makes the Yankees and their fans and the Bleacher Creatures them, and there are things that can make us unique. I hate doing stuff like that. If you want to do it to mock them and you did it once and you did it for Soto, I'm all for that. I could lead the charge on that. But when you start doing it for Edwin and Pete, it comes off like you're just, you know, a swagger jacker. You're just taking their thing.
So what you're saying is stand by and stand down. That is what Tommy
stand
is saying.
Stand down. This is war times against with Mets and Yankees. We have to stand down in that spot.
Stand down and stand by.
Don't do it.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, that sounds kind of weak. Now, if they were doing it to make Juan Soto comfortable and it worked, then just do it for Juan Soto.
Yeah, once you expand it to Pete and Edwin, it's kind of soft.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I've heard this before. Who else does this?
You got to do your own stuff.
You got to know, exactly.
Yeah, you got to do your own stuff. You know, it's like someone saying no biggie. That's Tommy's. You can't take it from Tommy. That's Tommy's thing.
You want to pay me, you can say it all you want.
Of course, Throw
me a buck. I got you owe for the Dodger tickets. My wife.
You
got
to copyright it first, which costs you your own money.
Damn,
and it's
all right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I haven't deja vu or Met fans done this before.
I remember years ago on an opening day doing it. And I know I was certainly not a big fan of it, but I hadn't heard of it anytime recently.
You did it?
I did not. I would never do that. Come on.
Well, just making sure.
I do it.
You said us doing it on an opening day.
Well, I meant Met fans.
Yes.
The only thing I almost did earlier this season, I almost did the wave. And I want to explain why I want to defend myself. I took my youngest son, Spence, to the game. And he was doing great. Like, it was a fun time. He's eating the ice cream. He's watching the Met game. I miss the Mets over there. We get to the eighth inning. It's getting a little shaky. He's 4 years old. It's getting a little shaky. And I'm like, oh, God, am I going to get it to the end of the game?
Wait, not the game. Him.
Him.
Yeah, okay.
He's 4 years old.
Right.
I'm excited I got to the eighth inning. As the eighth inning is starting, I'm noticing, all right, and I see the wave. And I'm like, oh, Spence, the wave. Thought it was the coolest thing ever. So now the wave is coming by and I had to make a choice. If I join in on the wave to get Spencey all excited, I got a good chance to get through this last inning and a half. If I ignore the wave and explain to him why it sucks the way my dad explained it to me, while I'll stay firm on what I believe, there's a chance I lose him. There's a chance I don't get through the game.
Smart.
So I put getting through the game first and I joined in on the wave to get Spence through the rest of the game.
And did it work?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. He loved it. He thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Right move, then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you exonerate me, Tommy?
No, wrong move. He's how old again?
Four.
Four. And don't most four-year-olds want to watch, you know, Wicked 600 times or Frozen 8 million times? You show him once, he's going to want to do it every single time. So now that you did the wave once, every time you go, Dad, wave, Dad, wave, Dad, wave. And now you're a waver. You are part of the problem.
So my thought is, it's a fair point. My thought is at some point, if he gets into baseball, there's no guarantee he will get into baseball. Jet has.
This is why he just takes Jet.
I take Spence. I take Jed a little bit more because he's into the game.
Yeah.
Spence likes the experience of the ice cream and the smells and all mm-hmm. that. But I will take him to a few more games just by himself.
Was your wife with you at this game?
This was a solo game. This was just me and the little guy.
There you go.
But I think at some point, if he's into baseball, it'll be easy to explain to him how lame the wave is. But I'm not doing it now at four. Like, and I got to say, my dad probably didn't say it to me when I was four either. Mm.
When did you learn that the wave was lame?
I'm going to guess like 10 or 11. Hmm. Like, I think once I was scoring the game and I understood what was going on, my dad's like, look at the wave. Watch the game, you idiots. But I was 10 or 11.
Like, I always felt like it was cool.
Come on, Teague.
I swear. Maybe because I never had to do it. I was always just on the field when things were happening. But I always thought it was cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it looked cool.
No, just like coordination. Just take. But I also then came to realize that we must be boring them.
Exactly. That you just hit on
that. That was the problem.
The thing that's really cool, and I have to admit I was jealous of. Did anybody actually watch the finals last night? Anybody watch that thing?
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. The coolest thing about the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City specifically, is how they coordinate the T-shirts with the fans.
They do it better than any pro team.
They do it better than any pro team. And what they essentially do is they have a certain color in the seat. Every fan puts it on. And so when you're watching the aerial view, it's beautiful. It's like a beautiful kind of design.
Right.
We will never do that in New York because people, I'm not putting that shirt on.
Right. I spent 2 hours getting ready for this game. My outfit is specific.
Exactly. But it's so beautiful in Oklahoma City to see that kind of coordination. Mm. So that, I think, is cool. A bunch of people going like this. I'm doing the wave right now for the audio. Just standing up and like flicking their arms in the air, like, ooh! It's the wave! Yay!
It's coordinated.
I don't mind looking at the coordination.
Did my belly just show?
I lost track, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Here's the problem. You also can't be wave guy, but then boo the person not doing it. I hate the peer pressure of being in a stadium with a wave.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not getting up, well, come on, get up. Do it, man. I've had that happen to me before. Mind your business. Big time mind your business. Oklahoma City, though, they get together and do it.
They all do it, man. Mm-hmm. And now they're 1-1 away from an NBA championship. Let's go to Mike on Long Island. How are you, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
What's up?
You covered so much in the time I was on hold. First of all, if you want to read a great book, you guys are into books, Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck, drove across the entire country with his dog in the car. Second point, somebody has said to me recently, because I walk my dog every day, I love her. He said, if you lock your dog and your wife in the trunk of a car for 5 minutes, who's going to be happy to see you when you open the trunk? Which my wife didn't appreciate, but as a dog lover, I did.
I think I'll save that one. I'll just tell CJ that. I won't tell my wife.
But the real reason I called was I'm not a big fan of all these new rules. I hate the Ghost Runner. But I particularly, for some reason, it was irritating me last night to watch the judge get walked with four fingers up in the air. Why don't pitchers have to throw the four pitches anymore? Who knows if they're going to throw a wild pitch or it throws off their rhythm for the next batter or something.
Yeah.
Why can't they just throw the four pitches?
So when they initially changed this rule, and they changed it, I'm going to guess off the top of my head, 7 or 8 years ago, mm-hmm. I agree with our last caller. I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, what? You never know what could happen. There could be a wild pitch. There could be so many different weird things. Once they started doing the four-finger walk, I got used to it, and I was like, you know what?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But they were doing it to speed up the game. Now that the game has successfully been sped up, the idea of throwing the four balls is not as bad as it used to be, but I just don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen that very often. But you saw what happened in the college softball World Series, right, with the girl who was trying to intentionally walk. There is no four pitches.
Right.
So she was no four fingers. She was trying to just throw balls.
Right.
She let one slip across the plate.
It happens.
And the game-winning hit.
Right.
And so it's dangerous.
You lose.
If you don't do it exactly right.
You lose that potential magic, but if we're being honest, that happens 1 in a million.
Of course. In baseball, it would never happen because the catcher, like, fully steps out.
Right.
In softball, they kind of just, this catcher just stands up and catches it off the plate.
Now, what you could do, and I remember seeing this in a highlight video in the 1980s, so I don't remember seeing it live, is the pitcher and catcher confuse the hitter into, oh, yeah, it's a touch. And he jumps back in and takes a strike. I think the only thing you lose from it are the boos. Like, when Aaron Judge was intentionally walked twice last night by Ron Washington, one with two outs and nobody on, one obviously in the extra inning situation, you get your quick boo and that's it.
Yeah.
But if you actually have to sit there and watch the catcher put his arm out and there be four balls in a row, the cascade of boos and anger is certainly louder.
Right.
But I have to admit, all the years have gone by without it, I don't miss it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.